I've been in those places where I thought he wouldn't. I've been in those valleys of decision that they were singing about, where I thought there was not a way out.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord has shown up.
Yes, sir.
He showed up for me time and time again, and he showed up for me. Matter of fact, I think he showed up here tonight. Go ahead, just for sure. Somebody get a hold of this tonight and change your life. Change mine. It's the simplest truth sometimes. I walked up a while ago and I believe Brother Dylan and Brother Todd and somebody else was standing there talking. And I walked up and somebody said, "This is deep, deep conversation." Those deep conversations sometimes will kind of blow your mind a little bit and make you go wild. But it's those little simple things that change your life forever and ever and ever. John chapter number 1 and between there and Matthew chapter number 11, I'm going to give you one of those simple things tonight that if you'll get it, it'll change your life. I preached this message about 3 years ago and never thought I'd preach it again. And I preached it around the country some and I've seen the Lord do some amazing things with this simple little thought. But in John chapter number 1, I want you to look. Now you gotta understand what's going on. John the Baptist is down in the river and he's baptizing his converts. He's having a baptismal service. Jesus comes down the road and verse number 29, the Bible said the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lord shows up and John introduces him. He's talking to his disciples, his followers, those who have come to a faith through John's preaching, and they're being baptized, and Jesus walks up and John says, "That's him. That's him right there. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's the one I am the forerunner from. That's the one I've been telling you that's coming. There he is right there." Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I just like to say thank God for the Lamb today. If I could sing, I'd help Sarah when she sings that song, Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank God. Hey, I won't go through all of it, but I'm glad he's my Lamb. So John introduces him here, and he says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's him. It does not sound to me like there is a shred of doubt in John's mind who he is. I believe as he looks up out of the muddy waters of the River Jordan and sees the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows. You know, John had already met him. While he was yet in his mother's womb. Mary got up close to his mom. And the Bible said the babe leaped in her womb for joy. John knew who he was before he was born. John knew who he was the years that he was preaching his coming. I don't know how old that was. But then Jesus shows up and John says, There he is. Well, I'd like to introduce you to him tonight. Let's say, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You say, Well, if I have no sin, we all do. Every one of us sinners jacked up on the floor up. Make God want to throw up. Somebody say amen. Thank God for the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you are 100% convinced? I preached this morning on believing the gospel. I said to you this morning that if Jesus were to come, I believe I was standing right here. I said if Jesus were to come and stand right here in a physical body, I wouldn't believe him any more then than I do right now. Amen. Sometimes, at some time or some point in your life, it's got to get that real.
Right.
Your faith has got to be that big. John says, I know him. That's him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, look with me at chapter number 11 of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 11. Don't know how much preaching I'll do tonight or where I'm even going to quit. But I promise the Lord I'd do my best to obey him. I have a box that Bibles come in. You know what I'm talking about? When you get a new Bible, it comes in that box. Every Bible I've ever got, I keep the box and I fill them up with outline. And here's what I prayed. I prayed going home in my truck this afternoon. I said, Lord, if I can find that outline, I'll preach it. I opened that box. I usually have to dig. Look, I opened that box and there it was. Okay, Lord. John knows who he is. There's no doubt he's sure about his message. Just like I was this morning. Did I look like I had any doubt this morning? I had no doubt about what I was preaching. It helps your preaching if you believe it first. Amen. I go to the Chevrolet place to buy a new truck. I'm not buying one from a guy driving a Ford. What are you saying? If you don't believe in what you're selling, I ain't buying. But this morning I preached my heart out. I believe what I preached. I believe he's alive. I believe he's ascended to the Father. And I believe he's soon going to rise again. John believes it. I believe it. You believe it. We sing about it. We shout about it. But sometimes circumstances, life happens. Bible said it rains on the just and on the unjust. Bad things don't just happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. If the Lord would allow me to pick who'd get the cancer, it wouldn't have been Miss April. I'd have picked somebody that I thought deserved. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be her? Circumstances. They're a part of life. Circumstances don't affect you. You're not human. John chapter, Matthew chapter number 11. Look with me at verse number 2. The Bible said, now when John, remember it was him that said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now when John had heard in the prison, where's he at? Somebody talk to him, where's he at? He's not baptizing in the Jordan right now. He's not having a revival meeting on the banks of the River Jordan. He's in jail. Would you say his circumstances changed? When he heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, watch this, this is his message from the Lord Jesus Christ. And said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Wait a minute, John, wasn't that you just over there at the River Jordan in that baptismal service? Wasn't that you who said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Wasn't that you that believed in the mother in your mama's womb when you when their bellies came near one another? Wasn't that you, John? Yes, it was John. But now John is questioning. What in the world is going on? This ain't the way it was supposed to be. I didn't sign up for this. Have you ever had those thoughts? Every one of us. Be careful before you come down on John. You'll find yourself in the same place. It may not be a physical prison. It may be a spiritual prison. It may be a physical illness. It may be a relationship problem. It may be a problem with your children. Who knows? It may be a problem with finances. But you'll find yourself in a place, if you're not careful, you will question God. I wonder, besides myself, how many others have found ourselves questioning God. Every one of us have. If we're questioning, stay with me. If we're questioning, we're doubting. Can I say that again? If we're questioning, we're doubting. If we don't have to question, that means we put our trust and our faith in what He's doing. Are you okay? Good. John's in jail, not for doing anything wrong, but doing what he's supposed to be doing. And they lock him up, and he tells two of his disciples, probably in a dark hour of his life, in a down place in his life, and said, you go ask him. Yeah. Is it really him? Or do we need to be looking for somebody else? Jesus answered in verse number 4 and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What's this next statement? And blessed is he. Whosoever shall not be offended, say the next two words,
in me.
In me. Here's John's answer. He doesn't say, yes, tell him I am who I said I am. I am who he said I was. He said, just go tell him what you see. Go tell him what you're hearing. About the deaf of hearing, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the dead raising. You go tell him what's happening.
Amen.
And then you tell him this. Blessed is he whoso shall not be offended in me. Amen. Stay with me just a minute. We'll go somewhere. Listen to me. Would you agree that at this place in John's life, he was offended by the Lord. Offended. You ever get offended?
Amen.
Sometimes my preaching offends. I'm sorry, that's just that book.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Have you ever been offended with the Lord?
Amen.
Where you felt like John did, that he had let him down. This was not what he thought. He was expecting a kingdom, not a jail. He was expecting a ruler, not a poor servant. Would you agree?
Amen.
The whole crowd was. They didn't get what they bargained for. When we signed up for this thing, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, like some of them television preachers will tell you, if you'll send your money, you won't never have no more trouble. Well, that's just a lie.
Amen.
Straight out of the pit, it's a lie.
Amen.
The Lord, matter of fact, promised us we would have trouble.
Amen.
He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have problems that come up. And sometimes if we're not careful, those problems will cause us to do a couple of things. Watch me now. Number one, they'll cause us to question God.
Yes.
Number two, they'll cause us to doubt God.
Yes.
Number three, they'll cause us to be bitter with God. Very few people in my 25 years of ministry, Brother Jesse, very few people have come to me and said, here's my problem, preacher. I am mad at God. Very few people. But probably, if you've been saved any length of time, you've been where John was. Evidently, he was offended in the Lord, or the Lord would not have sent him that message. Blessed is he who so shall not be offended in me. What happened here was Jesus had failed to live up to John's expectation. Let me say it again. Jesus had failed, not that he failed, but in John's eyes, he has failed to live up to his expectation. In other words, this ain't everything I thought it was going to be. This ain't the way I thought it should go. This ain't the way I thought it should happen. And he's disappointed and he's offended in the Lord. Nobody would admit that tonight. But if you would get that thing right, when you're bitter and angry with God, you're going no further until you get that thing right with God. You know what John does? John gets that thing settled. John gets that thing settled in his heart. He gets over that place of being offended in the Lord. Hey, if you don't get past being mad at God, you're going to live a miserable life until you die. People blaming God for everything under the sun. Are you listening? I did it. At my life. Years as your pastor stood behind this pulpit hiding bitterness in my heart against my dad. I did it. I'm glad I've got that thing right.
Amen.
For mine and my daddy's sake, both. We had a good relationship till he died. And I thank God for that every day. But as a little boy laying in my bed, I pray, God, why'd you allow my daddy to live? Have you ever asked that question, why would God allow? Why would God allow? Why would God allow this? Why would God allow that? You know what you're doing? You're questioning God. You're doubting him. Here's the thing. God don't always allow stuff. God gave man a will. You are free and at liberty to do whatever it is you want to do. If I took a notion to pull a pistol and shoot Brother Jesse in the head, God would not stop me. Are y'all okay? We get mad at God and we blame God and get bitter with him for something somebody else decided to do. God didn't tell my daddy to leave me and my mother. God didn't do that.
That's right.
God didn't tell your dad to cheat on your mom. God didn't tell your mom to cheat on your dad. God didn't tell some perverted uncle to put his hands on you in a bad way when you were a little girl. God had absolutely nothing to do with it. But yet if we're not careful, we'll go through our life angry with God, missing the joy of being saved. Hey, you can be saved and still have bitterness in your heart. You can be saved and still be angry with the Lord. But we have that thing down so deep that I can preach a message like this and you'll think, well, that's for somebody else. We've learned to cover up so good and to hide so good. You would come closer to admitting some kind of outward filthy sin than you would admit out of your own mouth that you're bitter at God. It's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to say. I stood in a little room in a Ronald McDonald House in Rome, Georgia, and shook my fist at him.
Man, bro.
I was mad at God. I was mad at God that he allowed my son to have a wreck and be in a coma. God didn't do that. Truth be known, now looking back, God protected him.
Amen.
Yeah.
That car rolled sideways like this over and over. He went out the windshield. The opposite direction of the force of the crash. God snatched him out of there. That state patrol said if the boy had been wearing a seatbelt and hadn't been ejected, he had been dead.
Amen.
But yet I got sideways with God. I threatened him. What'd you threaten him with? I told him I wasn't ever preaching to you.
Come on, brother.
I told him I was done. I was closing that book. I quit.
Amen. Come on, brother.
You take my child, I'll never preach again. You know what God did, Brother Jesse? You know what he said? And he would say, right, you sorry, right, stinking hypocrite. How dare you doubt me? How dare you question me? Not one time did he say that. Neither does Jesus to John. Matter of fact, Jesus goes on, and you can look at it sometime in your Bible, right there under where we stop reading. Jesus goes on and brags on John about what a great man he is. Matter of fact, he said there ain't a man born a woman greater than John the Baptist. Jesus says there's none greater. You can mark it down, there's none greater. And if the ones of Jesus said there's none greater can doubt, so can you. If the one who Jesus said there is none greater can question God and get a little offended at what God is doing or what we think God may have allowed, who are we? John the Baptist has doubt? That means that's probably something I'm going to deal with sooner or later. And so, here's what I want to ask you tonight. What are you mad about? What do you matter? It might have been something that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago that you've been a little bitter about all these years. You know the Lord could set you free from that bondage right here in this place tonight.
Amen.
I wonder sometimes why people don't progress in their Christian life. Why they don't grow. I don't ever see any joy and happiness out of it. These kids singing and shouting, praising God.
Yeah.
I don't doubt your salvation, but you hear Ryan's testimony.
Oh,
you're going to hurt that kid praying. You're going to hurt him all the way down the hall. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I need you in my heart. Well, what a man. You sit there and watch that. And you just sit there like you know the
Lord.
You know what bitterness does? It makes you numb.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like Novocaine in your soul.
Yes.
My dentist, she's right across the street over there, and she's pretty good. If there's such thing as a good dentist. I don't think none of them going to heaven, to be honest with you. She'd come in there, she pulled his tooth back here a few years ago. She'd come in there, Brother John, loaded up that needle. I hate that as bad as I do it all. She'd give that shot in my mouth. She said, I'll be back in a few minutes. Boy, all of a sudden my head felt like it was about, well, it was on this side, felt like it was about that big. I started thinking of it. Felt like it was that big. I felt like that album. She came in there, she grabbed the little pliers, she said, let's try something. She reached out and grabbed that tooth and wiggled it like that, and I went, ah! That's all I could say. We get it. Ah! She said, wait a minute. She reloaded that syringe. She gave me another dose. My lip got fatter, my jaw got bigger. A few minutes, she came back, grabbed them pliers, wiggled it, and said, ah! She said, preacher, I can't give you much more. I said, it hurt, it hurt bad. She loaded that syringe up again. Blank. She said, that's all you get. She said, I can't give you anymore. I'll hurt you. She left, come back in a few minutes. She grabbed that tooth. She could have been pulling my lungs up out of my throat. I would have felt the thing. She said, you okay? What happened? Over time, dose after dose finally took effect where I physically could not feel anything.
Amen.
If we're not careful, Brother BJ, over time, dose after dose of what we think is injustice on God's part. Why you allowed this, why you did that, why you allowed that. We get number and number because of our own bitterness, and we can't even feel the touch of God. The Lord come into service just like He has tonight. Oh, that stirred my heart. This morning my heart was stirred. When that little girl come down out of that balcony and got down here and trusted God. Miss Vanessa, that young mother who came and bowed at His altar and trusted Christ as her Savior. When Ryan bowed, I'm telling you, I felt something. And yet there's others who are just numb.
That's right.
What's causing that? Not careful, there's a root of bitterness that we've buried so deep.
Right.
If I were to come to you in private and ask, what's the matter? Why can't you worship me? You wouldn't have an answer.
That's right.
You might even blame it on somebody else. But deep down in your heart, get honest with yourself, honest with God. Aren't you glad He forgave you?
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Amen, brother.
How about you give Him the same courtesy?
Would
you let Jesus off the hook tonight for your injustice? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Deep down in my heart, there's something blocking my prayers. There's something blocking my worship. It's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my relationship with my children. Lord, I've been angry too long. You said, preacher, I've been dealing with this nearly all my life, and it ain't ever going to go away. Yes, it can.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it can. I was in my 30s, 40s, maybe, when God fixed my heart. I preached one night. Look, Jesse, long time before y'all got here, I stood right there in that pulpit and preached on bitterness. And God convicted my heart. But how dare you talk about being bitter at God? And you've been bitter all these years. Oh, I've asked God to forgive me for it. Oh, I've dealt with it over and over again, but I never really let it go. But laying on that floor right there that night, I let go.
Amen.
Lord, be my witness. Y'all heard this story 1,000 times, but maybe there's a few that have. Out of the blue. John, I hadn't seen Daddy in a long time. Remember, I hadn't seen him in a long time. This was on Sunday night when I got that thing right in my heart. Monday night, I was preaching for Shea Talbot in Temple at Freedom Baptist Church. My little brother calls me on Monday and asks me, are you preaching at Freedom tonight? I said, yes. He said, we're coming to hear you. I thought he meant him and the girl. Sitting on the front row on this side. After the congregation was singing, the preacher said, turn around, have a time of fellowship. I turned around, there stood my dad.
Amen, bro.
He said, oh, what a coincidence. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
When he saw me and I saw him, our eyes locked and we headed one to one another. We met in the middle of that little church. I was calling, Daddy was calling, and he said, son, I'm so. And I put my hand over his mouth. I said, don't ever say it again. You'll never have to apologize again, Daddy. It's gone. He had no idea that the night before, God took that shovel from heaven and dug that root of bitterness out of my heart. I tell you, it was almost as good as getting saved.
Yeah.
Yes. Ask you something. Has God failed to live up to your expectations? Has God somehow let you down? Maybe for years you've been placing the blame in the wrong place.
Amen. Amen.
People do wrong because they choose to. There's not a man in this room could cheat on his wife tomorrow. You say, much God, I never will. You better be careful. You better just pray and ask God for his help every single day. Oh, I've seen saved people do all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mothers walk off and leave their children.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're above it.
Yeah.
When that stuff happens, our children, our family,
yeah,
we're not careful. We'll get mad at God. Somehow we will relate our suffering to Him when He had nothing to do with it whatsoever. John said, go ask Him. Is it really him? He didn't ask that question while he was baptized. Man, his circumstance changed, and the devil got in his head, and the devil will get in your head. He'll cause you to question God, he'll cause you to doubt God, and the longer you doubt, and the longer you're offended with the Lord, the number and number and number you become.
Amen.
I wonder sometimes just what would the Lord have to do to get you to a place where you could rejoice in
Him.
Where you could worship Him. I'm telling you, this past year has been wonderful. Some of the best services. I'm fed up when people say, boy, I wish it could be like it used to be. I've been into some of the best services I've ever been in my life right here this year. Thank God for what we have. You're missing.
Yeah.
I don't mean you're at home on the couch. I mean you're sitting right here and missing it. You know who you're cheating? Yourself. It's all because you're simply not right with God. I've had married couples come in my office over and over and over, and I'll ask them, ma'am, as far as you know, are you right with God? Yes, sir. Sir, as far as you know, are you right with God? Yes, sir. Get out of my office.
Yeah. Amen, bro.
If y'all both right with God, you ain't got a problem.
Amen, bro.
But if you got a problem with each other, somebody ain't right with God.
Amen.
You can't be sideways with me and straight with Jesus.
That's right.
Let me say that again. You can't be sideways with one another and be straight God. Are you okay? So God has nothing to do with this situation. You're pulling Him into it.
Yeah.
Why? Has He failed to live up to your expectations? Did He not answer a prayer in the way you thought He should? I've looked people dead in the eyeball and told them, I believe God. Go take care of this. And God will.
Yeah.
He did it his way. He didn't do it my way. And those people walked in the church and I wanted to just hide my face. All right. I have to find a place in my heart to know God knows what he's doing.
Right.
He sees way more than I see. I see right here. He sees down the road.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I see right now today. He sees tomorrow. He sees the future and beyond. And he knows what he's doing. Yes, God has failed to live up to my expectations. Over and over and over again. Here's what I had to come to realize. My expectations don't matter.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
It doesn't change who he is or what he is or what he is.
Amen.
You can expect God to do all kinds of stuff, and God's not obligated to do any of it. But I do believe he works in our lives on our behalf.
Amen.
For good.
Yes, sir.
I believe that. Has he failed to live up to your expectation? Ask you three questions. We're going on. Would you allow a God to save you who's failed to live up to your expectation? Are you listening? Would you allow a God to save you who has failed to live up to your expectation? I wonder sometimes why people don't really get saved until later in life. Because they've been mad at God when something happened as a kid.
Right.
I'm telling you, there ain't nothing worth dying and going to hell for.
Amen.
There ain't no adulterous affair. There ain't no nothing worth dying and going to hell for.
Amen.
There ain't no pedophile worth dying and going to hell for. And y'all listening? It's precious.
Amen.
Amen.
I wouldn't die and go to hell for nobody.
Amen, brother.
I'd get over that thing and realize God had nothing to do with whatever it is that hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that he loves you.
Yes, sir.
He even understands what you're feeling. The Bible says he's touched by the feeling of our infirmity.
Yes, sir.
Would you serve a God who's failed to live up to your expectation? Would you? The Apostle Paul gets saved on the road to Damascus. He's a hater of Christianity. He stood and held the coats of the men while they stoned Stephen. But yet God meets him in the road and he gets born again. Turns his entire life completely around. And his Christian life wasn't all that. I still thank God for it. We got 13 books of the Bible that goes up and walked this earth. But it wasn't a holiday. He is beaten. Shipwrecked. Prison. Matter of fact, there's a little group of his epistles, Brother Charles, we call the prison epistles. They were written from prison. I told a boy one time, I was on the phone with him, he was in prison. He said, I'm not the Apostle Paul. I said, no, you ain't. The Apostle Paul went to jail for preaching. You went to jail for committing a crime. There could have been many times when he said, I didn't sign up for this.
That's right.
In the middle of that storm, that ship about to go down. You remember what he said? I know him and I have believed.
Yes.
And he's time for sway. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
He said, it's all right, boys. The ship's going down, but we're going to be all right. Not one time. Why, God? I'm doing my best to serve you. I'm trying to live for you. Why am I having guilt of what I'm going through? Yet he ends his life without falling to fight.
Yeah.
I kept the faith. I finished the course. Are y'all listening? Would you continue to serve God? I had to come to grips with that. The very next night after shaking my fist at God, I apologized to God. You know what he said?
It's okay.
Amen, brother. Yes, Lord.
I watch my boy suffer too.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I know how hard it is. I didn't know my boy was going to be fine. But he did.
Sure.
And I told God, I said, God, I'm so sorry for making such a foolish mistake. And if you do take my son, I don't know what I'll do. But I'll tell you this, I'll try my best to be gone. I ain't gonna make no promises because I don't know. I've never buried a child. I don't know how I'll react, but God, I'll try to serve him. I had to let that thing go. Wasn't God's fault my son had to rest. Wasn't his fault my son was in the coma. It was an accident. Just like Sister Michelle was. But God was there. It's not that he could have stopped the wreck and he didn't, but he protected you in the wreck. It's not that God could have stopped Levi from wrecking. It's that God protected him in the wreck. We saw kids in the recovery unit, or whatever you call it, rehabilitation, who had been there for years from the exact same injury my son had. Remember that? Exact same injury. Little boy had the same head trauma Levi did from a four-wheeler accident. He'd been in and out of that therapy up there for 6 years. Couldn't tie his own shoe. Levi walked out of there in 5 days.
Amen.
And it dawned on me one night, I got mad at God for protecting my son. I should have been praising God that he was alive.
Yes,
sir. Right.
Amen.
We like to say, I'll serve God no matter what. You don't know until what comes your way. You don't know until it shows up on your doorstep how you react. Would you allow God to save you who's failed to live up to your expectation? Would you serve a God who's failed to live up to your expectation? Lastly, not done, will you stay faithful to a God who's failed to live up to your expectation? Well, I'm not mad at God. I'm mad at people. Wait a minute. Then why are you quitting God?
Right. Amen.
He said again, well, bless God, I'm just not going back to church. What did he do to you?
Amen, brother.
He didn't have nothing to do with that Facebook post somebody said about you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. 25 years, I've had trouble with people in the church. We've had disagreements.
Oh, yeah.
Some of us in private have yelled at one another.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Got it out. I can lead them here because of you.
Amen.
This is going to sound real cocky. I'm not here because of you.
Hey, my brother.
That's right.
This is my church, just like a church church. I'm here because of him.
Yeah.
I've come to hear from him and to get something from him. And I'm not going to let mine and your disagreement stand in between what I get from God.
Yeah.
I love you with all my heart, but I love him more.
Yeah.
This is going to sound bad. I can live without your friendship.
That's right. That's right.
I cannot live without his.
That's
right.
Now, if there's something wrong, I want us to get it fixed. Don't get me wrong. But some things ain't fixable. Not because God can't do it, because we won't do it. We won't let it go. We're hanging on to what's dragging us to the bottom. God can't fix it because we won't let it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to let my relationship with him go lacking because somebody else won't get right.
Amen.
Now, as far as I know, I ain't got a problem with soul. I'm just saved. Y'all okay?
Amen, brother.
Does he stay faithful? I ain't talking about people. I'm not talking about people who leave and go to another church because God led them.
Right.
Yeah.
If you go to another church because you're mad,
that's wrong.
Come on, brother.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Can I just park there for a minute?
Come on.
Amen.
If you leave here because you're mad, as far as I know, Brother Jesse and BJ, they're like best of friends. His son testified long ago, said April was like his other mom. What a blessing.
Amen.
Do you realize something could come between you guys?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I've watched it for years. I've had men say, oh, come on, preacher. Thank you. Pray for us. We're going to go in business together. Don't do it.
Amen. That's right.
It's always my advice. No! Money will ruin a friendship.
That's right.
That's right.
But if you leave here just because you're mad at him, that ain't God leading you.
That's right.
You know what you're doing? You're taking your junk and you're putting it in somebody else's church.
Amen, brother.
I told my dearest friend in the world one time, they left Florida. They came to our church. He said, Brother Ian, we want to join. I said, not yet. I don't want you to join here until you make sure that you go back there and worship.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Because we have a relationship with that church. Before we had a baptistry, that's where we baptized.
Amen. Yep.
I said, you better make sure you're okay.
Amen.
Because if you're not, I don't want it.
Amen.
Y'all okay? People completely out of church tonight. They've been mad at somebody.
That's right.
Amen. Got done wrong, got hurt by somebody. Let me tell you something, God didn't hurt you.
Amen.
God has done you wrong.
Amen.
Are you listening? What are you mad about? Maybe you'll come tonight and tell the Lord I'm sorry. I've been taking this out on you. And I realize tonight I'm suffering from it. And I'm missing the joy in my life because of it. Has it failed to live up to your expectations? Who are you mad at? Here's the secret. Blessed is he, and so shall not be offended. Amen. Sometimes you have to fight. If you want to rear its ugly head, you don't want to get mad at God for what's happening. And you got to tell yourself, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right. Rains on the just and the unjust.